Good evening, ladies. It's Siobhan, and on tonight's episode, I have a conversation with Erica, the Fly One, Scott, about transparency. In the discussion, she brings up her father's suicide and how that impacted her, as well as resources that helped her to make it through. If this is a topic that is sensitive to you, please feel free to save it for later, and I will include those resources that Erica gives us in the show notes. Thank you again for tuning in to Ladies Night Podcast. Have a great weekend. Good evening and welcome to Ladies Night Podcast. I'm your host, Siobhan. And whether it's Ladies Night In or Ladies Night Out, this is what we're talking about. I am so excited for tonight's episode. I want to tell you a little bit about our guest. But first, ladies, let me tell you, why is it that sometimes you're hopeful for a dating situation? And then you talk to like a brother or a cousin, in my case, or even my dad, and they sometimes change your perspective on dating. So it's like, oh, I want you to get married. I want you to have all these kids, but don't trust brothers. So I don't know. I just don't get it. If you understand, please reach out and let me know. Tonight's guest, let's just say I've always thought she was so fly, so cool. And if you check out her Instagram, The Fly One, you'll see that she's very stylish, as well as she has very good taste with interior decoration. So I have the privilege of being a model for her, but I'd like for her to introduce herself. Welcome to the show, Miss Erica Scott.
Thank you. I go by Fly on my social media. I'm Erica. I call myself a master thrifter. I'm all about savings, and that evolved from thrifting clothes and vintage wear to interior design to budgeting, saving money, improving your credit, like all ways that you can save around the board.
So you're the girlfriend we need to be around, because we've been spending way too much money trying to look fly, but you found a way to make it happen on a budget.
Absolutely. I do pull your coattail if you complain about how little money you have, but then I see you going on shopping sprees and spending excessively. But yeah, I think there's always a way to do something for less.
Well, that's cool. It seems like you have some great adventures too.
Adventures?
Yes.
Yeah, I've had a lot of adventures.
So this summer I hosted a wine and canvas event, and that's actually where I met her. She's one of the few people in the room I didn't know because mainly my family and friends came out to support. But as soon as she came in the room, when I tell you her top, it was so beautiful. It was like this beautiful butterfly. There's some pictures on social media of her, but I'll definitely repost some from this event. But yo, ever since then, I was like, I need to be her friend. And I became a little stalker, but don't tell her that.
And then we saw each other like the next day.
The next day. At, it was like a brunch event. So let's start off tonight with a little game.
Yay! I love games.
So let's, I'm just going to share, ladies, that she's wearing a vibrant purple lipstick. And so the first game, as you know, is this or that. So for you, Ms. Fly, would you say lipstick or mascara is your favorite?
Absolutely lipstick. Hmm. But I don't wear one without the other.
So what's your favorite color?
Black and gold.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I feel like you could build upon that. Even in your wardrobe or your home, neutrals, it's easy to throw in a pop of color. Whereas if you have a lot of color, it's kind of hard to tone it down.
Yeah.
So I love a black and gold and building upon it.
So your preference on Ladies Night In or Ladies Night Out?
Definitely Ladies Night In. I feel like I get to learn so much about my fellow women, and I'm very introspective, and I love to learn and hear about people's stories. So that's when like all the stories come out, is in.
Do you feel like you're comfortable enough to share your stories? as well?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very transparent. So I love to share because I feel like by sharing, we learn a lot about ourselves as well as help other people.
As far as style, would you say your favorite era, 1900 to 1950 or 1950 to 2000?
Definitely 50 to 2000. That's so broad. It's so many eras in there. I like the mid-century era, 50s, 60s style, as far as like classy, ladylike coordinates. But I also like, for the fun side, late 80s, early 90s style as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my favorite eras is the Harlem Renaissance. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know how to say 1920s or 50s or 60s. So,
but those like the 50s and 60s even borrow from 20s and 30s, like it all mm-hmm. repeats itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I wonder for what from now is going to repeat itself in like 20, 30 years.
I don't know. Like what's new now?
Nothing.
I mean, wearing as little as possible is pretty popular right now. Social, as far as social media is concerned.
Oh gosh. Let's not get started on that one.
Yes.
So then last but not least, slippers or stilettos?
Slippers all day. Yeah, I used to be all about stilettos, but since becoming a mom and having a 2-year-old, like I would rather not.
Well, I feel you. I had some guests last night that we interviewed and they all said stilettos, but I was just like, uh-uh.
If I had to choose, give me slippers.
Nice. So something we've kind of talked about privately is the topic for tonight, and that is transparency. So in the first episode, we talked about friendships, and we were scratching the surface, but probably one of the most vulnerable conversations was with Katie Johnson, the motivational speaker, when she talked about forgiveness. And so I kind of want to build upon that, but have Erica share her own story and why it's important to be transparent. So my first question is, what does transparency look like to you?
To me, transparency is primarily about being vulnerable with the intent to help someone that may be going through something that you've been through. Because I strongly believe that we don't go through things solely for ourselves, it's to help other people. And I was just speaking to a friend actually the other day. She was telling me how, you know, she looks up to me, but it kind of intimidates her to like be close to me because she has some struggles. Mm-hmm. And I was sharing with her that that motivates me to encourage her. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't go through or learn the stuff that I've learned or went through not to help a friend in need.
Right. I find that to be true more often than not, that sometimes I know for me, I have felt insecure around certain groups of friends who thought on their end that I had it all together, but I really didn't. Mm-hmm. But something that came up for me while you were saying that was the idea of self-sabotage. So how do you kind of maintain connectedness with people through being vulnerable without self-sabotaging yourself?
What do you mean by self-sabotage?
So like just talking or thinking of yourself more lowly versus coming from, I guess, like a full place when you're being vulnerable. Vulnerability, I feel like, is healthy, but then sometimes people take it to the extreme and put themselves out there in a more self-harmful way.
I think, again, it has to deal a lot with intent. Mm-hmm. What is your intent for sharing this? Is it to get help? Is it to help people? Yeah, I think it's just very important that you be intentional about why you're sharing. Keep going, you know, keep looking at that as the reason.
And I may not have even explained that the best. What does it look like to be transparent in relationships with your family or in romance?
I think each side has to be willing to hear the other side out and not use what they tell you or share with you against you. I think that's very important to have that ground or level of understanding because it has to be some sort of trust there. But as the person that's sharing, I mean, if you've gotten to the point where, you know, your truth can no longer harm you, I think by sharing it, then you're less prone to being hurt by what others may feel about it. Because it's often, the most important thing is to just get it out. A lot of people hold stuff in, and just getting it out is such a big step because that relieves a lot of pressure off of you. People can't really use what you tell about yourself right. against you.
Mm-hmm. I guess in a way, the lack of transparency can be self-sabotaging. So I looked it up, y'all, because I had to make sure I knew what I was talking about. But behavior that is said to be self-sabotaging is when it creates problems and interferes with long-standing goals. So some of the most common ways of doing that are procrastination, self-medication, comfort eating. I like to eat, but I don't know if that's self-sabotage. And then other forms of self-injury. So when we think about transparency, I think they're related. If you're unable to be transparent, then that's the form of self-sabotage. What are your thoughts on it?
I agree. With all those things that you mentioned, it's kind of like iniquities that you're hiding. And if you can't share it with anybody, you can't really get help to get out of it. Even if that's sharing it with yourself, like being honest with yourself, like I have this going on. Sharing it with God, sharing it, just being aware that it's going on and not overlooking it.
So on the flip side, what do you think transparency looks like at work? Is it possible to be transparent at work and still maintain boundaries, or should there be boundaries at work?
I think there should definitely be boundaries at work. It's so funny. I took a personality test yesterday, and it just told me, like, I was reading me on the paper on the screen. I was like, oh my gosh, because I'm one of the rarer personality types. So I'm brutally honest. Like, if you'd be like, how does this look on me? And I'd be like, it don't look cute. Take it off. Put something else on. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have that filter to kind of ease my way into it. I'm just like a straight shooter. I remember one time at work, my boss was telling us this task that he wanted us to complete, but he didn't give us like prep or really a lot of instruction. It was just like throwing us in. Mm-hmm. And in the meeting, I was like, well, I don't feel comfortable doing this. And he was like, well, maybe this isn't the place for you. And I was like, well, maybe it isn't.
Oh, no. Okay, so what happened?
I didn't get fired.
Okay.
I was still there, but it was just like, I say what everybody else thinks. Mm-hmm. But in my current role, like if I'm asked or called upon, I'll share. But I don't really, it just depends on how my environment, like I don't really have a relationship like that with my coworkers.
Yeah, I think we can go deeper with that. But you said you're also open. And so now I kind of want to shift gears and ask you about transparency in your own life. So what has been the easiest thing to become transparent about in your own story, or whatever has happened to you, or the role you played in something? What has been the easiest to be open about?
I really can't say that there has been easy. My day-to-day life is easy to talk about, but it hasn't been a struggle. When I hear transparency, I think it talks more about something that you struggle with. Mm-hmm. And then you choose to be open or choose to talk about it. I mean, I'm transparent about shopping at the thrift store, but it's not like earth shattering.
Right.
There are other things that I have chosen to be transparent about that were more difficult for me to share.
What would one of those things be?
One of the things was my father's death by suicide. Mm-hmm. That was, I had to understand it first and then share what I learned later.
How long did that process take?
It wasn't too long, because whenever something that, I'm not gonna say whenever, but a lot of times when I go through something, my personality type again is I look for answers. Mm-hmm. So I actively seek out trying to figure out why this is the way it is, why people are the way they are, why things go the way they go. So I actively researched and went to support groups and read books to figure it out. But it was maybe a couple or a few months before I had a light bulb moment.
So how did you find out that he took his life?
I happened to be off work that day, and I don't think that's a coincidence, but I had like a schedule, just a random vacation day on a Friday. It was the Friday before Father's Day. And I got a text or a call on my phone. My cousin was just like, something's happened. You need to come over. And I just drove over there, saw the, like there were news cameras outside. But like, I don't know. When I drove over there, like I wasn't even thinking. I was just like, okay, I'm ready for whatever. And then I got there, and then a little while after, the coroner came out and told me that he had died by suicide.
Was there a note or anything?
There was not a note, not that I know of, or not that we found, or any like last, well, he had last words to me, but there wasn't a note.
So was his death a surprise? I mean, I hate to say it like that, but I don't think we want our loved ones to leave this earth. And I've had a lot of deaths happen in my family recently. Some were more expected than others, but it's still not easy. Mm-hmm. But I guess part of me wonders, okay, for instance, I had an aunt who just transitioned, so we kind of knew that she was going to be leaving us soon. Mm-hmm. Were there any signs that he was, whether in the physical or spiritually or emotionally, that he was transitioning? I don't even want to use her.
Use the words, because you're not going to use the words. I feel you don't have to tread lightly.
So were there any signs? What was he withdrawing or anything else that are signs of suicide?
Yes, there were signs. Now, let me say that I didn't know a lot about suicide, depression, mental illness while he was going through it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have friends that spoke openly to me about suffering, mm-hmm. or that even I knew that had died by suicide. Only person I remember that I heard of was like Kurt Cobain. But it didn't affect me directly, so it wasn't something that I thought would happen. Mm-hmm. So this all happened within 6 months from when we knew that he became depressed and started hallucinating. Then he was medicated, which led to more hallucinations. Then he was like admitted to the VA, and he was under surveillance and stuff. Like all this from when we knew he was depressed till he died by suicide was literally 6 months.
So did he serve in the military?
Yes, he served in the military when I was, probably before I was born. Yeah, and they said he may have suffered like some PTSD as well from then, that like was just coming out, what, 30 years later?
So what was your relationship like with your father? What were some of those earlier memories you had with him?
We were very similar. His birthday was just a week before mine. We were both Leos, both very fashionable, got attention. He was like 6'5", thin, wore like a size 16 shoe, always dressed to the nines.
Come on.
A lady magnet. He was fine, but we were very, very similar. Both strong-willed, had opinions. But growing up, he was very active in the community, which we share. We're always going here, going there, going to an event, or trying to start an event or promote something, just being around. He was a member of the, I always say it wrong, I think the Black Panther Militia was here under Mamoja Jabu. So he was very vigilant, very active as far as Black rights. Mm-hmm. He used to take me and my brother to like Kwanzaa and Black Power meetings and stuff when I was super young. So he was passionate, very passionate about those things.
What was like his favorite saying or something he was known for saying often?
I can't really put a finger on that. Mm. I don't know. It was just like his presence more than anything commanded your attention. Like when he walked into a room, it was like all eyes on him.
Yeah. Would you say that you've picked up some of his traits even more, like they're more prevalent now than before?
Absolutely. I mean, all the things that I described about me, like being honest, shooting from the hip. I don't know if I'm a man magnet, but I think I command attention when I walk in the room. We are both confident into the same things, fashion, art, culture. Mm. Yeah, so a lot of his interests we shared.
What has he taught you, like some of the biggest lessons he taught you throughout your lifetime?
To go for what you want, try new things. Also to ask for help. Because when he was depressed and going through his depression, thank God that we knew. We didn't necessarily have all the tools to be of the best resources. I think if I knew more before, and maybe I could have helped more. But he was transparent in his struggles. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, we could get him help at the time. He talked about it. I remember vividly, like, one time I visited him and he was, like, standing up in his apartment and showing me, like, physically how he was fighting, like, the devil and demons in his mm-hmm. mind and, like, mimicking like a boxer. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to express the best way he knew how, what yeah. he was going through and what he was feeling. He fought a really good fight. And I think that's one of the things that I try to teach people about people that are depressed or suicidal or who have died by suicide, is that remember that they are a victim and they're not a culprit, and that they try. It's just that they have succumbed to a mental illness, as it, a lot of other illnesses.
So do you think that can be healed? The depression that leads you to wanting to take your life?
I think it can be treated for sure. I know of people that bout with it from time to time, depression. I know people who have been suicidal and come out of it, if you will. But I think it's something that's ongoing, kind of like an alcoholic or an addict. I also think they are victims of addiction. Like, I think we should stop putting...
Girl, you are speaking to my whole entire life. I'm trying not to cry. Ladies, we are recording this at like 10:30 in the morning, and I'm about to have a boohoo fest.
I mean, it's about compassion. Yeah. We stop looking at people as perpetrators. Even people that have hurt us. That's what I was listening... what was the lady's name on the other podcast? Like I said, spoke to me.
Katie,
yeah. That goes with forgiveness, too. We got to remember, like, these are people, they have to be suffering with something to harm us in this way. Mm. To harm themselves in that way, speaking about addiction. And then with depression and suicide, a lot of people say, oh, they're selfish. That's what I hear a lot about mm-hmm. suicide victims. And I just think we have to take that out of it and be more compassionate, because they were obviously struggling with something if they think that this was the means to an end of that struggle.
I really appreciate you saying that, because when I was 12, that was the first time I had a suicide attempt. Mm. It just felt like life was so unbearable and there was only so much I could do, because my guardian, she was battling addiction. So a lot of the things that you were saying about both of those really resonated with me. And so I felt like there was nothing more I could do. Luckily, the attempt failed, but there was another point or two in my life, and I haven't shared this with anybody, that I thought about death. It wasn't like I was trying to take my life, mm-hmm. but just that overwhelming feeling like mm-hmm. I can't do anything about my life. And this is in my adulthood. Mm-hmm. And even in the most recent couple years or so, that's mm-hmm. come across my mind. And so that's where I was wondering, like, do you think it can be treated over the long term? Or is it, when you talked about how your dad was boxing, like, sometimes I feel like mm-hmm. that's what's going on inside. Can you be healed totally from that? Or will you forever be a victim, I guess?
I don't think you forever be a victim. I don't think alcoholics are forever victims of alcoholism if they continue to monitor and treat it. Again, I compare it to any other illness. If a cancer patient is in remission, they still have to be aware. Mm-hmm. They still have to be on guard. You know, maybe their lifestyle changes mm-hmm. forever. If someone got a new kidney, like my stepfather, he has so many pills that he's going to have to take forever. Mm-hmm. He was quote-unquote healed. He got, you know, a new kidney, but he has to manage it mm-hmm. forever.
So have you contemplated suicide?
I've never contemplated suicide. I think I've been depressed before. And a thing I learned, like, when my father passed, and reading this book, which I would recommend, is called Dying to Be Free. Mm-hmm. And it's co-authored by, I believe, Kurt Cobain's aunt, who I was speaking about the musician who died by suicide. And one of the things that really resonated with me in the book is, as the title states, suicide victims aren't necessarily trying to die. They just want to be free from their bondage.
Yeah.
And that's, it comes to a point when that's the only thing they can think to get them free, mm-hmm. or to be free from that bondage. So I think, again, the compassion and looking at it as they're looking for freedom from what they're going through.
So tell me more about how you got to understand that for yourself.
Well, it's been different areas that have taught me forgiveness. One being my father's death by suicide. And I've had to forgive a couple of other people that I felt really, really hurt me and that I never wanted to forgive. But it's all about looking at that person as a person. I think a lot of times the people we feel hurt by, we tend to look at as like monsters. Mm-hmm. And I keep forgetting her name, Katie?
Yes.
I think she mentioned that too. Like, we look at them as monsters, and then it comes a point, hopefully with prayer and long suffering, that it changes and you start to see they are just flawed. Like, they just struggling with this stuff, and it's sad. Mm-hmm. Like, that compassion comes. So, like, with my father, after he passed, I was angry. I was just like, why did you do this? And I remember saying that when the coroner told me that he passed, I was just like, why did he do this? Why did he do this? I was pissed off because I felt like he didn't have to do this. Mm-hmm. Then from there, I was researching my way and found a support group, SOS, Survivors of Suicide Victims. And when I went there and heard other people's stories, somebody recommended the book, Dying to Be Free. I read it, and it was like a light bulb moment, because I was in a space where I was like, why did this happen to me? You know, my mm-hmm. father. Why me? Why him? And then it was just like clear one day that I heard from God. He was like, why not you? Mm. Like, why not him? Like, we put ourselves on these pedestals, I think. That can't happen to me. That'll never be me. If we look at other people and their mm-hmm. circumstance, and it's like, yes, it can. Like, you're a human being too. You're a human being, and it really just was humbling. And that at that point, I decided, or I chose, to start speaking about it and telling everybody the story, participating in the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, walking in the walks, raising money. And even now, anyone that's struggling, like, I'm like, just talk to me. Like, if you want somebody to talk to that's gonna listen, I'm here.
So when you go through something like that and you come out as a survivor of a suicide victim, I feel like there's a need to take care of yourself. So what are some ways that you found to take care of yourself even after the event, and even while you're helping others who are contemplating suicide?
It is a heavy thing to talk about and deal with, and even listen to people's struggles. But I'm a giver by nature. So if I have a resource or something, I mean, I'm just always share it. I still have a full life. And one of the main things when I did my like brain and mind shift from losing my father was to remember, like, you had him for 47 years. Everybody didn't have their father for 47 years. So I try to look at the bright side, if you will. Like, thank God I had my father for 47 years. I could have had him for 46. I could have had him for one. Mm-hmm. So all those memories don't just go away. There's a lot more to say about his life mm-hmm. than solely for his, you know, memory just to be about his death.
I agree. Are there some practical ways? Because I'm sure there's someone out there who is a similar person. Like, they're a giver, they care for people, and they may have been survivors as well. And so, but they're not knowing how to take care of themselves in the meantime. Like, whether it's prayer, or you talked about the SOS group, were there other ways that helped you to get through the day to replenish yourself in order to be the best use?
The way I coped was being around people. I don't really shy away. I mean, at times I can withdraw if I need to fill my cup mm-hmm. back up. But a couple days after that happened, I had a big organization called Girls Night Out, a really big following in the city. And prior to my father's death, we had an event scheduled. Like, it happened to be a couple days after he passed, maybe mm-hmm. a few. I still got up, went to the event, and just being surrounded by loved ones, not withdrawing yourself, it can be difficult, but even just inviting someone over, sharing your space with somebody. The first night that he passed, a friend of mine came over with her two boys, and they're just their presence. I would suggest that you don't withdraw yourself. You accept the help. If somebody says, oh, can I come over and cook for you? Mm-hmm. If you've lost someone to suicide, don't shut them out. You'd be surprised at how much you may need their presence. You may not be the talker like I am. I wanted people to ask me, how did he die? Did you see him? Like, I wanted people to ask me the tough question. I wanted to talk about it, but a lot of people are scared to, like, step on my toes. And also with the stigma, I'm going off topic.
No, you're fine. You are cool.
But with the stigma, it's like, I think people feel it's rude to ask. But that's, I don't mind, because if you're coming from a good place, like, these are questions that people want to know. And I'm an open book about it.
And we appreciate it. We appreciate it because, like you said, everyone is not like that. And I'm definitely the person, like, get out of my face. But I did appreciate those random drive-bys, like you said, mm-hmm. when I was going through some of my darker moments. And just my friends didn't know what was going on, but they were just showing up like they could feel something was going mm-hmm. on. And so I definitely appreciated that. But I would definitely agree, you know, do not isolate yourself when you're going through.
Yeah. Don't forget about your strong friends, too.
Mm-hmm.
Your forgotten friends. And I was talking about this, how we prioritize a lot in our lives, our mates, our kids, our jobs. But we got to remember to think about our friends, too. Because sometimes those are the longest relationships we have.
I can attest.
Yes.
Definitely sow into your friends while things are good,
mm-hmm.
because you may have like a lot of good seasons, and then it'll be that one season that your life changes,
mm-hmm.
and that's definitely when they'll show up. But I do want to echo too what you were saying, like you were vocal about what you wanted, and so it's important to learn how to ask for help when you need it.
Definitely.
Thank you for being so open. I just wanted to wrap this up with kind of like your final thoughts about transparency or about your father and his memory and the things that you've learned along the way.
Sure. So as far as transparency, like we specifically talked a lot about my father's suicide, but I think in all areas of your life, and I was talking to a friend about this, like you don't have to go through things alone.
Mm-mm.
You don't have to. You can choose to, but you don't have to. You have somebody that's willing to help you. You might have to seek them out if they're not friends or family, but somebody out here is willing to help you. So seek help, be transparent, also be intentional. It should be worth more to help others, help yourself, mm-hmm. than to just hide and appear to be a way that you may not be. So I think it's very important and a part of life that we help each other out. And one of the main ways is by being transparent with our successes, our journey, and our struggles.
I agree. I recently did a talk on, I think last weekend, and I was talking about the story of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, and I think it's verses 7 through 10. And he was talking about how he had the thorn in his flesh. And it was shortly after God had given him some revelation. So all that to say, like sometimes God will show you something, but then there's something there within you that keeps you humble. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of was open about my own story and just how January 1996, some events happened with my mom, and then 20 years later, they kind of happened to me too, mm-hmm. and how I became more empathetic. So I think mm-hmm. part of that transparency allows you to make connections with people. Like, that was my first time opening up with people about those events very openly. I shared details I didn't even share in the book. And they were like, oh my gosh, I loved it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I felt like a complete fool. But yeah, being open with those parts of yourself that you're not ready to mm-hmm. is definitely something worthwhile. But if somebody makes you feel like less than, or that you are not anything because you're open, that's not the people you need to be around anyway.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Something else I'm passionate talking about is having that good support system. So what are some ways that people can just be friendly or show themselves friendly? Because some people don't know what that looks like. We could be very selfish. and not promote friendships with us because of the energy we get involved. So what are some key things for fostering healthy relationships so that when things that keep us vulnerable or makes us vulnerable come up, then
we feel comfortable sharing those?
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm that sharp shooting friend. So a lot of times I might be the friend that all my friends don't feel comfortable sharing things with, actually. Not because I judge them, but because I'm a mirror.
Mm.
So I'm going to tell you the stuff that probably your other friends ain't going to tell you. I think on both sides, you have to be open to receive, know where your friends' hearts are, because they may not be intending to hurt you by telling you the truth. Mm-hmm. Know how their hearts are. Also, just regular communication and prioritizing your friendships. Mm-hmm. Make a date on the calendar for your friends. We mm-hmm. make dates on the calendar for everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, make it a priority in your life. I'm really passionate about that. I love being around women and meeting new women, having my girls' night in. It's always like one or two women that haven't been before mm-hmm. that I like to reach out to, just because we try to be super women and mm-hmm. independent, and it's nice to just let it out and let it go and share and be open. So be open to give and receive.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Earlier you talked about the book Dying to Be Free. Are there any other resources or causes that you support that you recommend?
So American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, they do a lot as far as outreach in the community and fundraising to treat mm-hmm. depression and provide education to like school age kids, teenagers, LGBTQ. So reaching out to there's also a way through that organization to get linked up with the survivors of suicide victims. Those are the primary resources that I've used, as well as just talking. I mean, being vocal about it has allowed my friends to trust me with their problems and depressions and things like that as well.
So thank you so much for sharing. I've never experienced like a close family member who was a victim of suicide. So I really do appreciate what you've shared, and just knowing that it's going to help at least one other person who's out there. But
you're not alone.
ladies. And so what's next for you?
In my life?
In your life? Are you dating? I'm scared of
that. Next for me in my life? Well, today.
What?
No. Well, today I'm a panelist on a fashion brunch. So we're going to talk about fashion and business, which I'm very excited about. I do events related to thrifting, shopping at thrift stores, saving money and saving in your life. So you can follow me on Instagram at the Fly One. That's TheFlyWon, or and Fly's Nest, FlysNest. Yeah, so.
And you have a podcast.
Oh, I do have a podcast.
Told you I was a stalker.
But. Yeah, so like right now at this point in my life, I'm kind of just dabbling. I'm just like throwing it all out there to see what, you know, what I can get. But I'm also on YouTube, The Fly One. I have tons of video on there about, I have a video about my father dying by suicide. I have videos thrifting with my kid, with being pregnant. Like, I have tons of stuff on YouTube, so check it out, The Fly One. And then my podcast is On the Fly on iTunes.
So what kind of topics do you talk about on your podcast?
On my podcast, it's pretty random, because I shoot from the hip, so whatever is going on at the moment. I've talked about a review on the Girls Trip movie. I've talked about prioritizing your friendships.
I like the yes, no, I'll think about it.
Yes, no, maybe so.
Maybe so, yeah.
Or I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I talked about communication, like just being concrete in your agreements or arrangements with people. Because I'm a really like, okay, you said you was going to do this on this day. Like, mm-hmm. just be intentional.
Yes, consistent. Follow yeah. through with your yes. word. All the keys of life.
Yes.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Or did we do evening. All the games? I feel like I'm missing something.
We did mainly at the beginning. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this or that.
I know it.
Yes, she does. Yep, and we talked about everything that you're doing. She might be styling a shoot or two for me in the next 6 months or so. She just didn't know that until now. But thank you so much again.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yes, yes. And thank you, ladies, for tuning in to Ladies Night Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at ladies_night_podcast. We have a Facebook group, Ladies Night Podcast. And check out our episodes either on Apple Podcasts, where you can leave us a review and share with your friends and subscribe. Or also check out our website, shavonne.co, shavonne.co. And you can click on the link for Ladies Night Podcast. We enjoyed sharing our evening with you, but we are about to go have some fun. So have a great weekend, ladies.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yay.